Oh my goodness. What a wonderful day. It's a beautiful day in the fishing place, the beautiful day in the water, and all these other wonderful things. It's hard to believe all this stuff just goes on in such a little space. Oh, let's see, Fishing Frank here in the chair, and I got Robert in the chair across from me, and we were making a few phone calls today, and this is the Area Fishing Report. Now, this report, Robert and I will be following the place-by-place written report. So if you want to know where the places are that we're talking about, just go to the Fishing Report page. It's the one that has the picture of me with the fish, a very old picture of me with the fish. And click on that, and then you can follow along with it. We're going to go each and every place on there. So starting off, Robert, we are on the Peace River. And what we heard?
Been getting a lot of mixed reports for up in there. It's there's been a handful of whiting being caught up there, especially like around the Harbor Heights area, some of those deeper little pockets. The guys are working at them, but they're catching enough to make it worthwhile and mentioning. And then the as you move up the river towards kind of Shell Creek area, that seems to be a little bit more productive for, you know, a lot of catch and release snook. There's been a handful of redfish here and there. You know, it's not gangbusters, but it's slow, steady fishing. You know, the biggest problem that people are doing right now is that we've had such funky weather. It's hot, it's cold, it's hot, it's cold. The consistent thing is definitely shrimp worked pretty slowly. You know, whether it's under a jig head or a small split shot and just covering some area and just taking your time and working each spot thoroughly and then moving to the next spot, but not spending a half hour posted up in one little corner or one dock.
Yeah, I'm seeing quite a few people fishing that main channel out there. Haven't seen a lot of bent rods, but every once in a while one goes off. There's been some pretty decent fish up in there. I think the fishing's a little better as you get close to I-75. Now, moving down the river down to the 41 Bridge, what's going on around the river, like, say, by the Power Pole Park or even out close to the middle of the bridge? Anything?
Kind of the same thing going on. There's been some whiting there, a few incidental trout. Haven't heard of any redfish or snook, honestly, the last several days, but we've had some funky weather. There has been some bigger black drum have started moving around the bridge itself, moving in and out of the pilings. And a couple guys have seen some cobia while walking the bridge or fishing off the bridge, but haven't hooked any. You know, it's been a couple incidentals just swimming by. It's been a little on the breezy side the last 2 days, so not too many people have been really silly enough to stand up there and fish.
Right. Anything out towards the middle of the bridge?
I haven't heard much out there. It's all been kind of on either the south end or north end.
What's been going on the Lashley Park side?
Lashley Park's had been producing a few sheep's head. There's not any good numbers, but the ones they're catching are a little bit better quality, like that 15, 16-inch range. And then there's been a handful of small mangrove snapper and an oddball black drum. You know, the snook have gotten real quiet there the last several nights. You know, a handful of guys have been going out there and doing some catch and release on those, but it's gotten a little quiet with that pressure moving over us.
Gotcha. Now, Bayshore Pier coming back across the river, heading over on the Port Charlotte side.
About the only thing I've honestly heard of this past week was a few trout. Guys were actually just casting out soft plastic, you know, the little shad tails, you know, little paddle tails, and just jigging them along real slow and working them and picking up a few trout here and there.
Okay. Moving around to Port Charlotte canals kind of in general, or has anybody been doing anything at Port Charlotte Beach? Or
I haven't heard much at the beach complex, but all of those canals right there in the Alligator Bay area around the beach complex, the first, like, I don't know, I'm going to say like the first eighth or quarter mile of those canals have been producing some redfish, a few snook, quite a few mangrove snapper. And I've heard of some pretty sizable mangrove snapper for inshore stuff. I mean, 14, 15, a couple 16-inch mangroves being caught by guys. I mean, no numbers of those bigger guys, but big enough where it's like, wow, that's fairly impressive. Also, the jacks at the mouths of the canals have been fairly good. And we've actually finally, this year seems to be one of those years, you know, like you were talking earlier about, you know, things go in and out of trends or fashions or whatever. You know, we always teach people how to troll the canals all the time. You're coming in or you're going out, why not troll? It seems like I'm getting a lot of guys that are saying, yeah, I've been just slow trolling up and down the canal and picking up a trout here, a small redfish there, a snook there, you know. It's kind of neat to hear a variety of guys saying that they're finally trolling through there and picking up some fish. Now, and all of them have been on, like, that Storm Twitch stick has probably been the most ideal one that guys have been whacking them on.
I wonder what it is about that goofy lure, that Storm Twitch stick.
I have no idea.
It doesn't make any sense. It's not like it's a, wow, this is an amazing lure. It's pretty plain, it's pretty simple, but it catches the heck out of fish.
Yes, it does.
It's like, my goodness, I don't know what's up. And it's we sell them for $6.49, which I would say some of the bombers like $4.99. We've got some, you know, $3.29, $3.39 lures. But at $6.49, that's kind of on the
very low end of the scale of hard baits.
Yeah, I'd say most lures now are hitting that $10 mark.
Plus, you know? Yeah.
And to have our number one fish catching lure, and it's not expensive. It's kind of a great thing. All right.
Yeah, anyway, it is.
Tom Fisher was saying the Myakka had a bunch of redfish up in there. What about Eljabine before we get to the Myakka?
Eljabine's had a few sheep's head on it. That, you know, it kind of follows suit with Lashley. There's not great numbers, but the few that they're getting are definitely a little bit better quality. The strange part with those sheep's head is that it's been shrimp one day, the crab the next day, piece of clam the next day. They're kind of mix-mash with what the guys are actually having the most consistent numbers on.
I would say that's probably a nutritional thing.
It might be. It's just funny how they'll hopscotch like that, because traditionally it's usually shrimp or crab.
Right. But I know, I can tell you, being sick this last week, I walk up to the refrigerator, open up, look, and go, I know I want something, but it doesn't look like anything in there.
Right.
You know, it's like maybe fish are kind of like us, that you get a craving for something maybe your body is lacking.
Right.
A different type of vitamin or something.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying that's the way it is. I'm just speculating.
Nice.
Okay. Myakka cutoff.
Myakka cutoff, it's got a lot of little redfish in it with a couple of more legal slot-sized fish. The guys are working the shrimp real slow up underneath some of those deeper cuts, the mouths of some of the creeks that are in there. Just being real thorough and just kind of slow moving along like they're bass fishing, essentially. They're picking up a couple oddball snook as an incidental bycatch. They haven't been super aggressive back in there because that water temperature is right at that weird point where snook kind of sometimes get lockjaw. The afternoon bite's been a little bit better for those guys. The mouth on the north end and the south end has been starting to get a few trout. I mean, it's definitely not your typical, hey, we can go over here and wreck them, but they are catching a few where it's worth stopping and hanging out for a little while and fan casting and working real slow and thorough along the bottom. Just like they were talking about, that 3 to 4, even 5 feet of water range seems to be the ideal depth for more consistent
anything
trout.
Anything on the outside of Hog Island?
I have not heard of anything on the outside
about the
of
the river.
The river itself been quiet except for a few incidental bluefish and jacks cruising through. Overall, it's been kind of quiet. They were saying, you know, they've seen a couple incidental cobia swimming through there as they're out there looking for bait or going from point A to point B. I just have not heard of anyone actually landing a cobia out there yet. Still a little early, I think. I think, like your prediction is, I think it's going to be more mid-February. It's going to start to light up a little bit better.
Anything in Tippecanoe Bay?
I have not heard of anything in Tippecanoe at all.
Good. I know what to write about it. All right.
There you go.
Save me a little typing. Okay. There you go. I'm typing along with the reports, what I'm putting in, what Robert's putting in on the place-by-place written report. Anything in the South Gulf Cove canals?
It's been crickets back there. A couple of guys have been bass fishing a little over a week ago, but I have not heard of anything at all this as far as recently goes. It's kind of odd, you know. they're buying shiners, they're buying minnows. Guys are saying they're heading that direction, but just not getting the feedback.
Remind me when we get to the freshwater section of this, because I had some really weird news with minnows and stuff. So it's quite a ways down, so kind of keep... we're going, moving around down to the west wall. What's going on the west side of the harbor?
West wall's got some redfish along it, you know, right up underneath the bushes at the mouths of all those creeks and stuff. There's an assortment. It seems like the bigger creeks, as you move into them, there's a lot of rat reds. But as you're finding those little creeks that are just not real obvious, that are just good, better moving water coming out from underneath the bushes, seem to be holding that one legal size redfish. You move down to the next spot, same thing. Handful of snook, not gangbusters, but a few of them. And then I'm hearing of some trout out there on the top of the flats there, right on both sides as it starts to drop into that 3 feet of water range. When you actually get a decent tide over there, the shrimp are by far dominating it. There's even been a few bonnet heads mixed in with those trout out there on that open water. And if you get on the harbor side of it, you're definitely getting bit off every now and then by bluefish. They seem to be kind of just about a consistent theme everywhere you go throughout the harbor.
Boy, it would take me a lot less time to type in this stuff if it wasn't for my fingers not hitting the right buttons. Cape Hayes, anything down there?
Cape Hayes has been a little on the quiet side for what it should be this time of year, but the trout and bonnet heads have probably been the most popular thing going there. Guys are drifting over, you know, at that like halfway point out away from the shore, pretty, you know, closer to marker 5, and just fishing real low and slow with shrimp and doing well on the bonnets and the trout. Not giant trout, but at least in the slot limit, legal size fish. And then, of course, you know, the pinfish are there and, you know, droves and just beating the snot out of just about anything you throw in there.
Right. Going into Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, is one better than the other, or what's going on?
For overall fishing, it seems like Turtle Bay has been a little bit more productive. But for specific species like sheep's head, for example, I'm getting a lot more feedback lately this past week in Bull Bay. You know, underneath the shacks, underneath some of the bushes, some of those boats way in the back corner there in Bull Bay, holding some fairly nice sheep's head. And then Turtle Bay, Bull Bay, both fairly consistent with the trout, some redfish, all scattered out in some of those open, deeper water spots, the deeper sand holes, the deeper grass. And in particular, that trough that runs in the back end of Bull Bay, or Turtle Bay, I'm sorry, over by the shack there. Getting some mixed reports on that. So they're both pretty nice if you can get into them. Low tides, it's been a little tricky for some people. But once you get in there and get out of the wind, it's been pretty nice.
All right. Because of the wind, have you heard anything about the Cape Hayes Reef?
I have not, to be honest. It's been a little screwy the last few days.
Okay. Gasparilla Sound, the tailing flats.
Once again, same thing. Fishing that one oyster bar heading towards Widden Creek has been holding a few redfish and some trout on it, and then just drifting that whole bay, either working some of the little islands around there, like Sandfly and around the clam leases and stuff like that. It's been a few trout, oddball redfish. The one thing that has been a little on the funky side in there, there's actually been a few bigger black tip / spinner sharks on more towards the outside edge there, towards where the white pelicans hang out and towards the clam leases in that little bit deeper water, that 4 to 6 feet of water. And I'm going to call them spinner sharks because this time of year, it's very realistic possibility of it being a spinner shark rather than a black tip the rest of the year. You know, everyone thinks because they jump and launch and spin in the air, it's all of a sudden a spinner shark. And the majority of what we truly have here are black tips. Especially throughout the rest of the year, just the wintertime, they do move in closer and you'll get into the spinners. It's just always tricky to tell because there's the anal fin is, you know, supposed to be black, which is a pretty good reference point, but it's never 100%. So it can be a little on the funky side to identify them personally. Some guys will argue with me, but I know what my limitations are. I'm not going to BS that one. That's been been good. The White Pelicans have been having a field day over there. I guess there's been a bunch of blue crabs, and Carl brought up an interesting question the other day because he was watching the Pelicans corral some of the food and stuff, and he asked me if they eat blue crabs, and I didn't have an answer for him.
Do they?
I don't know. I didn't bother looking it up, to be quite honest with you. All It'd be one of those kind of curious things to check out because they are a corralling type predator. I'm sure anything they come across and try to gobble it up, so I don't know if they would eat a blue crab or not. It was an interesting observation on his part, you know, to point that out. You know.
While most pelicans eat fish exclusively, they can be opportunistic feeders, eating lizards, frogs, crabs, lobsters. Sometimes pelicans tag along with other birds, tracking their prey, stealing fish from right under them. They themselves are a victim of the same type of thing. But they say that, you know...
That's a leader crab, huh?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So, anyway, how was that?
That was pretty good.
All right.
We all learned something new at this moment.
Okay. Placida Pier, Placida Trestle.
Placida Trestle's been good. It's not on fire, but it is steady. It would be my personal first choice to go to the way things have been going lately. The sheep's head bite's been pretty decent there. There's a lot more to look at than they are catching, but they are catching a few. Been a few bluefish, some bonnethead sharks, mangrove snapper. I've heard of two baby, very small hogfish being caught off of there. And then obviously a few trout, you know, it's been kind of hit or miss on them. Probably the most consistent and bigger size fish is whiting. You know, some of these guys are making some whiting like a pound and a quarter off of there. That's always kind of cool to see when you get those, you know, relatively speaking for the species, a pound whiting is a pretty good size fish. You know, and they're all doing well on shrimp. You know, it's been either live shrimp or frozen shrimp for your main bait.
And if you're up there, you're in Ohio or Pennsylvania or Wisconsin or any of these northern states up there, and you wonder why Robert talks about the whiting, consider it the yellow perch of the South.
Yeah.
That would be the closest one-to-one I could think of. White flaky meat, very mild flavor, actually much milder than a yellow perch. They don't have any of that. Very, very little of that fishy twang to the meat or any type of aftertaste. It's a very much of a fish flavor, but much, much more subdued. It's not fishy, but fish. So it really is a fish that...
And the texture is nice, too. It's a nice, firm meat to it, whether you're filleting it or cooking it.
Yeah, so I'm actually just giving you an idea. It's not like, oh, wow, this is so great. I'm catching a lot of whiting. But if you listen to one of our other programs, it's like with fish, like sandbrim, whiting is not a targeted species on a charter.
Right.
Neither is sandbrim. Although, back when I would do it, I had a couple whiting spots, some sandbrim spots that we could go because... They are such an awesome meal. It's not an awesome fight.
You know, no.
I would literally...
Even on ultralight tackle, it's still not really impressive.
I would take my two-piece... I had 4 to 10-pound two-piece rods that I'd have there because the two-piece rods I could put in the holder and they weren't in my way. I just, you know, take them apart and put them right in the holder rigged up. And then if I would go over and let the people catch them with that lighter tackle, at least there was some... challenge to it, because I had those rigged up back then with 6-pound mono. And but what a great meal experience. It's the same thing, those sugar trout out on the markers.
Yeah, sugar trout are fun.
And
fun food.
Little tiny thing, and literally fillet them. It's bite-sized fillets. I had one guy, and we caught a bunch of snook that day, but the snook were out of season. We did not get him a meal. And I said, you guys want to have fun catching a meal? And they're like, really? I said, it's like kind of catching bait for a meal. I said, but you'll love the flavor, the texture, everything about it. Don't overcook it. Just done and done. And I bet you I filleted up 50 or 75 of them for those people. And but they absolutely loved it. They literally made a point out of coming back, and I've had calls and stuff. And but it was one of those days where we did catch our fun fish, but they really wanted a fish dinner from Florida. It was the only thing I knew of I could go get a bunch of to get them a meal out of it. And it literally took like 50 or 70 of them to get them their meal. But, man, they were excited. They caught the big fish. They had the great dinner. You know, it's one of those things that you got to, sometimes when you're doing charters and stuff, you got to think outside of the normal realms to get the people something fun and flavorful.
Well, it's funny how one fish can be so desirable as a table fish, but yet so looked down upon because it's nowhere near a game fish.
But not up north, down here.
Yeah, yeah.
Up north, the yellow perch is a game fish, you know?
Absolutely.
Fish the same size down here, they don't even want to think about. So, anyway,
it still
Lemon
cracks
Bay.
Me up.
What's going on in Lemon Bay?
Lemon Bay's got some fairly good trout activity, especially as you get out to the ends of the docks that are on the north side of the intercoastal. They're not balled up in super tight numbers, but they are a little bit better quality fish, you know, in that 16, 18-inch range. Guys are just working either a shrimp on a jig head real slow. I've had a couple guys catch them on rattle traps, working those fairly slow. And then, you know, underneath the docks and out on the grass flats there on both sides of the intercoastal, been a handful of redfish. Couple oddball pompano is bycatch and some mangrove snapper is bycatch. I just haven't heard phenomenal numbers, just kind of that very slow, steady. You know, you just got to move around or drift around a lot and work it real thoroughly.
I'm going to go with drifting. Are we hearing anything about any bluefish in the ICW up there? Anything
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, same thing with the bluefish up there. Just there's consistent. They're consistent bycatch, you know, in that 1 to 4 pound range.
Right.
You know, so if you happen to get bit off, throw a little piece of steel on and use a spoon and just start working it
now,
along.
Are we seeing anything about redfish there in Lemon Bay?
Very few. Very few. Most of the ones that are there, just one in this sand hole, one at the mouth of this canal. It's been not gangbusters by any stretch. You know, I haven't even heard of a lot of rat reds up in there this year compared to everywhere else.
Okay. Englewood Pier, the pier right there at Tom Adams Bridge in Lemon Bay.
The Anger Pier?
Yeah.
That's been some sheep's head, some whiting, a few ladyfish, oddball bonnet head, all during the daytime. The nighttime activity, to be honest with you, I haven't heard of anything off of there at night this entire week. You know, usually it's a good staple for catch and release snook or the occasional juvenile tarpon, but been quiet.
All right. Now, in the Gulf of Mexico, we've got tuna.
Yep, blackfin tuna. Quite a few schools of small to moderate-sized bonita in that, you know, 2 to 6 pound range with the occasional bigger one. And all those are, like, within, honestly, realistically, 7 miles of shore. Seems like where the majority of them are coming from. There's also been a few cobia hanging out or showing up while you're out there, either around some of those bait balls, even the crab buoy's been holding a few, and then also the reefs. You know, so you got to have, it's not really a targetable fish, but it's definitely one that's going to show up during your course of the day while being out there. So be kind of ready for them, have a free line bait ready to cast at them, or a small bucktail with like a worm trailer mixed in with that bucktail, and they've been working really good. The mangrove snapper bite, lane snapper, and sheep's head and porgies have been doing really good in that 7 to 10 mile range. Been pretty good. The only thing I haven't heard about is honestly red grouper and AJs. It's been so wishy-washy with the weather out there and really high seas that the handful of guys that are doing it are going way offshore.
Gotcha. Okay, with all that going on, is there any like grunts or snappers or any kind of bottom fishing going on, like grouper and stuff?
The grouper bite's been okay, but the weather's been so lousy, a lot of guys haven't been running out to where they need to go for the red grouper, because that's out there in that 30 to 35 mile range, along with the AJs. So most of your guys have been staying in closer in that 7 to 12 mile range and getting into the mangrove snapper, the grunts, the porgies, a few sheep's head. There's been some incidental cobia swimming up to the spots while you're out there anchored up. And then if you can find some of those oddball bait balls like Tom and Matt were talking about earlier down south from Captiva all the way down past Sanibel, there's been bonita, some blackfin tuna mixed in with them, and still even a few oddball kings. I haven't heard of great sizes of those kings, but just a few here and there. Just the weirdest part is the void of Spanish mackerel. You know, it's kind of odd. I haven't heard much for those guys. And even the triple tail seemed to have played a disappearing act this past week. That storm we had last week really wreaked havoc on a lot of those crab pots. I heard that there was quite a few of them tangled up out there.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, Inglewood Beach on, Thursday? Wednesday or Thursday had four footers rolling up on the beach. There was surfers out there just having a field day.
Wow.
So it was pretty lumpy. And that was all ahead of this major cold stuff that we got now today.
Yeah, but I used to do a lot of windsurfing. I was never a big surfer, you know, go paddle out and ride the waves in.
Yeah.
But I did it with, you know, surfboards with the sails on it. I was big into that for a long time. I mean, one of our favorite things, there was me and this other, the only two of us dumb enough to do it. But, you know, sometimes you get that whole time where there's not a lot of wind. And the only time there's any wind is when the storms are coming.
Right.
So we would go out and fish the afternoon, or windsurf the afternoon thunderstorms. So you're riding along in the water with this big mast up, you know, surfing Englewood Beach and all that in the thunderstorms, because it was the only time we could get any wind.
So you were out there riding the wind in a lightning, lightning rod.
Yeah, both of us, me and I don't remember his name anymore, and it's hard to believe I can't remember his name. Hopefully it'll come to me. But yeah, two crazies out there just, you know, waiting for the storms to show up. Okay, they get close. Oh yeah, I can hear the thunder now. All right, get everything ready. All right, get out there and boom. And I mean, because you get those downdrafts that are, you know, 40-plus mile an hour.
Absolutely. You get scooting along pretty well.
50, 60 miles an hour you could get on that stupid surfboard. And, jumping waves and stuff. But, you know, I was young. I was in my 20s.
Scary.
Oh, it was fun. You know? But
hey, you live to tell about it, so it makes it great.
I didn't think I was going to die. I wasn't afraid of the lightning back then. I hadn't been hit yet. You know, after you're hit a couple of two, three times, you tend to get a little more cautious about it. But I'd never been hit by lightning at that point. I had no fear. Anyway, what's going on with the passes? Yes, and that's actually a true story, boys and girls. You could figure, would you know, the radiation treatments, hit by lightning, the degenerative. There is a reason I am the way I am.
Right.
Okay. What's going on? The passes, any passes doing okay?
The passes are doing fair. They still catching some mangrove snapper and a few sheep's head, especially in like Boca Grande and Captiva Pass. They've also been doing well on a couple times last week. Bonita moved in literally into the pass. They were the smaller bonita in that 2 to 5 pound range, but man, what a blast just for catch and release purposes. Weird part is there was nothing really in there chasing them. There was none of the sandbar sharks or anything like that you would expect this time of year. I haven't heard anything of any of the passes north of us, whether it's Venice jetties or any of that stuff. It's been a little on the quieter side up there from any feedback. But, you know, snapper, good sheep's head. Not numbers, but better quality fish, you know, 15, 16, 17 inches being caught while drifting through there. And the guys that seem to be catching those bigger sheep's head and snapper are actually kind of almost acting like they're tarpon fishing, where, you know, you pretty much design the word of hover fishing, where you're just kind of bumping the motor in and out of gear, kind of controlling your drift. And the guys that are going as slow as possible seem to be picking up the more numbers and better quality of fish.
Okay, and I was typing, so I missed it. What kind of fish were they?
The snapper and the sheep's head mostly. You know, but they're just doing the better quality and better numbers by doing that nice controlled drift rather than a regular just shutting the motor down and drifting it.
It's hard to believe so many people read this fishing report that I do because it is so misspelled. It's so grammatically incorrect. And sometimes I catch it, sometimes I don't. But it's funny, I go back and look and stuff that I thought, I did pretty good this week. And then I go back to next week and I'm looking at it, red line. This is misspelled. It's like, God, I don't know why, our readers and listeners and stuff are such cool people. They forgive me for my flaws and appreciate what I try to do.
Right.
Let's put it that way. They're just the coolest people on the planet. And I think they, after reading a few of my fishing reports, they could probably work for the government as code decryptors.
Right.
You know,
I read Fish and Frank's website all the time. Oh, you want a job?
You could probably translate anything. Okay. Walking the beaches. If we're standing on land, walking up and down the shoreline somewhere, what's going to go on?
Honestly, the only place I've heard of has been Boca Grande because it was so windy this past week out there, like we were just talking about. The guys fishing on the pass side of Boca Grande have been getting some sheep's head, some whiting, a few incidental bluefish, and a few bonnet heads. But overall, it's been pretty quiet. I would predict that this week, with it going to start laying down a little bit more, I think the whiting, pompano, some jacks, I think all that should get really excited out there because of how churned up it's been. I'm sure that there's a lot of shrimp and crabs and clams and everything else that's been dislodged with that wave activity.
Yeah, that would be a real good bet for that. Punarasis, Sanibel's got to get its own thing. I don't remember what Matt was saying. And unfortunately, I can't go to that tape right now to hear, but I'll try.
He was talking about usually you go down there for jacks, but they haven't been super productive down there.
Trout fishing inside was pretty good, I think.
Yeah, the trout fishing has been good, and he was saying slow and deep again, and that 3 to 4 feet of water was better than that 1 to 2 feet of water. Same way with you catching some incidental bluefish, mix in with those fish while you're out there fishing that deeper water. Pinfish have been wreaking havoc on your shrimp while you're bouncing them on the jig head, but it's like I was telling a gentleman just a minute ago, you work that shrimp real nice and slow. Yes, it's going to get destroyed by some pinfish, but because the trout have been a little on the lethargic side, I guess, for a bite, that the pinfish have actually been instigators in getting the fish to come in closer and examining things and then biting. So rather than just working a spot and then moving to the next spot, cast that shrimp out, let them get destroyed by the pinfish, put a new shrimp back on and cast back into that same spot again. And a lot of times that trout or redfish or other predator has moved into the spot and has shown interest in what you've got to present to them. Well, that's been working out for a handful of guys. So that's what I would be doing.
All right. Let's see. I don't remember how to spell Caloosahatchee. I'm adding a new,
I don't know.
New spot. I think it's Calossa or something like that.
Yeah, I can't even think about trying to pronounce or spell it.
I know it's
I can pronounce it.
Caloosahatchee. I actually found
S-S-A.
Calossahatchee.
Oh, geez. Yep. Nope.
Okay.
Not even been close.
Yeah, it's this over.
It's a tough one.
Come on.
We don't have the good Indian names here. We got the really difficult Indian names here to pronounce.
I'm sorry. You know, I'm a big proponent, friend, indigenous or semi longer indigenous than what we were here. There was no indigenous people here, but previous Digenous who actually pushed out the prior Digenous, which were, I don't know what the word for it, inhabitants. But, yeah, there's been so many different people that have inhabited North America, and that groups of people who are extinct, and then came other ones who went extinct, and then came the ones we knew, and then came us. But my point behind that very bad reference, we, for better or worse, and for as horrifically as we did it, we still won the Indian Wars. Why isn't it Smith Creek? You know, sorry, boys and girls, but, you know, huge amount of respect for, you know, people who came before us, but I'm sorry, Caloosahatchee? Why isn't it Jones River? You know, I know Caloosahatchee's cooler, but still, I could spell Jones. All right. Lots of trout, smaller fish in the Caloosahatchee. Some of the better fishing right now, kind of in that 41 to the railroad trestle. For as the trout fishing goes, anything else do you remember Matt talking about this morning?
He was saying that this week that the snook should start to move up into that water treatment plant area, or power plant area, I should say. But he said it's been a little on the slower side, but he predicts that those fish should move up there with this colder water. And he'll be going up in there and checking it all out.
Join in?
Seeing what's going on with it.
What's that?
I gotta pick up my little man.
Oh, okay. We're just doing fishing reports.
Are you?
Yeah.
Nice.
So they'll be posted up. It'll be about 20 minutes before we get them up on the air.
You guys are good. You guys sound good on the radio.
Oh, I don't know about that.
We have
a face for it anyway.
Yes, that is one thing you can absolutely say about Robert. He is a face for radio.
Oh,
no doubt about
it's
it.
It's incredible.
Yes.
I'm like,
I'm
excited. Good seeing you guys.
Take care of yourselves. Good seeing you.
For those of you who don't realize, we're in my office. The door's open. I don't close my door. People come up and talk to us while we're doing whatever. It's Matt Lachey.
Matt Lachey's had some redfish right immediately around the bridge. On both sides, just right along the shoreline mostly. And then there's been a pretty good number of sheepshead being caught right off the Matt Lachey Bridge itself. The mangrove snapper bite I haven't heard much about like we did a couple weeks ago. I wouldn't be surprised if they moved back in there with this little cold snap.
What was it?
The mangrove snapper. A couple weeks ago we had some pretty good bite going on from what I heard from quite a few people, but it's been quiet this week. The juvenile tarpon have been pretty good at the mouths of those canals in the immediate area, like right there, those Cape Coral canals. But I have not heard much for trout or snook, which is a little out of character for at least the trout part of it down
well,
there.
The trout are more out in the boat channel.
Right.
When we're looking for trout, we're historically looking up closer to the edges along the bars and stuff, but there's been more out in the boat channel. Talked to a couple guys from down there. And let's see, looking down to Pine Island Sound, going to the outside of Pine Island, what's it looking like down there?
Well, with the low water we've been having, the best bet is fishing some of those deeper sand holes and just working it nice and easy. Shrimp on a jig head, the trout, a few oddball redfish. The cool part about down there is you got those islands have all got like deep pockets underneath them, especially on some of those points, working those real hard. That's where the guys have been picking up the more legal size redfish, along with a few decent size, like in the teens, mangrove snapper. And then obviously there's been the bluefish around for the bycatch.
Now the other fish that was tailing down there was redfish tailing and sheephead tailing.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
the redfish and the sheephead. You know, they get confused and they're hard to tell the difference until you actually start really paying attention to the coloration of it. You know, traditionally the redfish have that little bit of a good blue line to them, versus the sheep's head is just one solid kind of a grayish, lighter color in general. But me personally, I can't see it. I've just been told that by many, many people. You know, it's too tricky for me. It's kind of like casting to a box fish or a cowfish down in the Keys when you think it's a bonefish. Just too darn similar, so it's a very easy mistake to make.
Yeah, I've seen cowfish until the first time I went out literally hunting for bonefish, There is no way on God's green earth I would have bet money against mistaking a cowfish for a bonefish.
Mm-hmm.
But from a distance, you absolutely cannot tell them apart.
Nope.
And it's the same thing with sheephead. Mullet don't actually tail. They'll go down. The way to train, if you're looking at across the thing, is it redfish or is it mullet? I look for ones that do a swirl, like a 360 at the surface.
Right.
That's always mullet. Redfish will come up, and when they're striking a prey, do a circle. But when they're just kind of normally going along, you see a school of fish feeding, you're not seeing that swirling. Mm-hmm. And it's the only way I know that is the only definitive difference between the redfish and mullet on the flats. But once you get sheephead start tailing, some of these sheepheads are big, you're looking for color variation on the redfish and more solid color on the sheephead. If we're going to move up to the north end of Pine Island, Boquilla, Jug Creek, what's going on up there?
Honestly, it's been a little quiet there. I have not heard a lot of good reports up there. I know that at the beginning of the week, there was a few guys fishing right there around Jug Creek and doing well on the trout with an oddball sheep's head and an oddball bonnet head. But I have not heard anything, like probably since, actually probably about a week ago today. It's been a little odd to not get that many reports for that spot, because it's usually happening pretty good. Even that Boquilla pier is usually doing pretty well this time of year. Just no good feedback, unfortunately.
All right, let's look at it a little more logically. The winds have been blowing predominantly with an east-northeast, yeah, northeast-north direction.
Pushing right on top of
the north end of the island. This is,
yeah,
that has not been a good place to be.
Right.
I mean, it's windy, it's cold, you're right in the teeth of the wind, and that's why the reports haven't been coming in. That's all.
It makes more sense. I didn't think about that part of it for that angle of it.
Quick, okay, where is that? It's right, you're fishing there, you're right in the wind.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. Okay, Burnt Store, Two Pines.
Burnt Store's been doing pretty good. Between Burnt Store and Two Pines, a lot of guys are drifting that area and casting those sand holes, catching some trout, a few redfish, and then even been getting a couple pompanos bycatch. They aren't in good numbers. It just seems like those pompano coming through there are just like in ones and twos, which has been a little on the odd side. No trout in the channel to say, you know, per se, which is a normal thing this time of year, but it's just not cold enough for them to move up into those channels. So the guys have been kind of struggling and just drifting along the bar there and having a good time. I haven't heard of anybody that's been silly enough to go wade fishing out there lately, so I haven't gotten good mixed reports of any other species. You know, it's usually this time of year a lot of guys are wading, but I think it's been too on again, off again with the weather that they don't go out there. Like you said, that teeth of that wind blows right onto that shoreline too at times. It can make it a little on the tricky side. But it is a beautiful area to wander and wade fish if you want to get out of your boat or park in that park and walk down there.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's going to bring us up to the east side of the harbor, talking about like from Pirate Harbor up towards Alligator Creek.
That whole area, that's probably where most of your better activity has been going right now. Inside Pirate Harbor, they've been getting a few trout. You know, that's about all I've heard about, but not good numbers. Seems like on the windy days, everyone dumps in there anticipating something, but it's been sketchy. But all along the east side, on top of the bar, up along the mangroves, there's been scattered redfish, some scattered trout, a whole lot of mangrove snapper of assorted sizes, and then the snook have been a little bit more cooperative over on that side. Most of them are little guys in that 15 to 22 inch range, but fun enough to bend the rod and do a couple acrobats for you. The guys that are catching the bigger trout are definitely sitting on the outer edge of the bar in that 3 feet of water, taking a nice, slow, easy drift and just working it real slow and thorough, casting all the sand holes and any little troughs that are available. Been hearing of a few cobia cruising on the outer edge of the bar. Most of them are in that smaller range, 28 to 30 inches from the guesses of most people that are seeing them. But they are seeing quite a bit of activity over there, which has been making it real nice. Plus, it's been out of the wind for the most part.
Right. All right. Has anything started in Alligator Creek yet?
Nothing. They're doing that dredging there, too, though, so that's been, I think, making it a little on the funky side in addition to our weather, but they got that big steel pipe running parallel along the channel, so people that are coming off the east side or the west side are having issues. One customer for sure I know have already took out his lower unit when the pipe actually broke loose and drifted across the channel. So I would use caution when going in and out of there. Don't just automatically assume you can goose it as you're coming out of Alligator Creek and get past that no-wake zone that you should just start immediately flying out of there, because it's not a safe place to be hauling butt right now. Haven't heard anything far up inside either. You know, the jacks were good last week, but we haven't heard much this week at all. Usually when they dredge, it can sometimes light it up good, because as it's stirring up that mud, it's disturbing worms and crabs and shrimp and gets some of those fish excited, but not too many guys have been fishing it.
Yeah.
Didn't they just dredge that like 2 years ago or something? Or are they changing the channel again? Because I'm not privy to that stuff.
Most dredging projects are scheduled for every 3 to 4 years.
Okay.
Because it's a lot easier to maintain a depth than it is to redig a depth.
Right.
It's all about how much dirt you're removing.
Right.
So it's actually less expensive to have somebody go there a little more often, and just going up now and taking a little bit here, a little bit there. Because one of the most expensive part of the dredging is taking it back to land and putting it in a dump truck and hauling it off.
Right.
That's a real problem. You know, digging it up off the bottom, putting it on a barge is no big deal. But what do you do with it then?
Right.
And so it's got to go to specialized areas.
It's got to go to specialized areas?
Yeah. So you can take it to the landfill, but it's got to go into a certain part. And there are, you know, it's salt, it's muck, it's not just, okay, I'm taking dumping in a field somewhere or a gravel pit.
Gotcha.
I don't think so, anyway. We'll have to ask FWC about that.
Yeah, I'd be good curious question to know what they do with that. You know, I get that it's muck and I get all that stuff, but you would think, you know, salt's not actually bad to a certain extent for a lot of plants. And that decomposing material would be good, too.
Yeah, it used to be a lot of things were dredged up and then just spread out on fields. And with Florida, you have enough, you know, sandy soil, it would just kind of, you know, regulate it. But who knows what they do now? There's a regulation for everything. And
the wind's blowing this way. You can't do that today.
Yeah. Okay. I've never understood, why do they do the controlled burns on such windy days?
I don't know.
Here you get a day where
I know they do it when it's less no wind. The least humidity is when they really try to do it, but it seems like they do really pick the windiest days.
But the least humidity means, and the more the wind and the least humidity, the more the fire will spread.
Right.
And so they do these big burns and stuff on the most dangerous days to do it. That's what I don't get.
It's good practice for them.
Yeah, okay. Maybe that's it.
Sounds good in theory.
Ponce de Leon Park, what's going on?
Black drum, a lot of small mangrove snapper, a few incidental sheep's head as bycatch, but no targetable numbers of them. And then the jacks have been coming and going through there in pretty good numbers, you know. And those jacks over there seem like they're a little bit bigger. They seem to be on average of like 5 pounds plus. I've seen several photographs of jacks right there in the channel going into Ponce. A guy and his wife got into 3 of them, and they looked like East Coast jacks. I mean, these looked like 20, 25-pound jacks. They were studly. That was pretty impressive fish.
Yeah, there was a guy came through, and he was showing me pictures, the jacks the kids were catching.
Yeah.
And he was so excited, and he showed them to me because I'd spent some time with the kid. We helped him pick out his rod, and we did all that with him and the wife and the kid. And then I gave him casting lessons on how to cast and fight the fish and all that. So he was showing me what had happened after that. And it
That's
was,
cool.
It was pretty intense. It was pretty cool. Some nice jacks. I would guess in a 6-pound range.
Nice.
Big fish. And that kid was, he not a big kid. I mean, he was a younger, you know, child. And,
right.
I don't know, 8, 10. You know how when you get old, you can't really tell, but I'm going to guess in that range, you know.
Even when I was younger, I have a hard time telling.
Yeah. So
I never had a great deal of experience with children, so I have a hard time guessing.
Good with mayonnaise and mustard over a slow fire?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Yes, indeed. All right. I can't remember his name. Yes, indeed. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
From years and years ago.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I know. It just makes me nuts. I can picture him going, yes, indeed. You know, but, yes, I love children over a slow fire with a little mustard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember his name.
Let's see. Black drum is the right, is the big thing. And when the jacks come through hanging, good fight. There's some trout, and the snapper bite is pretty fair there at points.
Yeah. Most of them have been on the smaller side, but not bad at all. You know, a lot of people trying and having a good time. I know we've had a lot of new fishermen down there checking it out and talking to people.
What about back up in the canals?
About, honestly, the only thing going up inside the PGI canals, I mean, everybody's super excited about their underwater lights because of the amounts of fish that they're seeing, but it's weird how the fish have segregated themselves. One light has got a bunch of little baby tarpon on it. The next three lights have a ton of catfish on it. And then the next two lights have snook swimming on it. One guy said he actually had a small school of jacks hanging out around his light for 2 nights in a row. Just sitting there, just daisy chaining all around it. Drove every other fish off of it, but he said there was about a dozen or so jacks, as best he could tell, just swimming around it. Also getting some reports of some good sized black drum, and then the snapper bite's been not exactly great, but better quality. Again, hearing of some 13, 14, 16 inch fish back in there that guys are catching, and for inshore, heck, anything over 12 inches is pretty impressive. But when you get into that mid teens, now you're really getting impressive.
Right. Anything at Gilcrest?
Not at all.
Yeah, we were actually talking about taking it out, but it is a pier.
It is a pier, you know, and at times it can be absolutely incredible. It just seems to go in long spurts.
Okay, Alligator Creek Reef. This is the reef just south of Punta Gorda, right off the mouth of Alligator Creek.
The sheep's head have been probably the biggest activity going on out there. See a lot of captains sitting out on it. See a lot of our snowbirds hanging out there, and they're catching a good abundance of sheep's head off of it. Not all big ones, but good enough to bend the rod and have a good time. A few bluefish is bycatch, an oddball cobia is bycatch. But it's definitely been sheep's heady. That's a made-up word that makes sense.
The only other thing I've heard was a couple guys hooked some small guy grouper out there. So yeah. I don't know if there's any legal one.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't matter. Season's closed anyhow. You know, so it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, it's always been a fun place to catch them at. I seem to do better on the juvenile jewfish than I do the gags. I've seen enough gags caught, but I can only seem to catch the little Goliaths.
All right, what about the deep holes out in the harbor? I have not.
Nothing. It's crickets. Windy, you know, one, it's windy. Cold. Exactly. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if there's a few cobia lingering around, but I think it's just been too bumpy.
As far as bait reports.
Pinfish, and pinfish.
Bait has moved out into the Gulf. And the white bait's moved out into the Gulf, but the pinfish are thick in the passes.
In the passes and just about anywhere where there's grass, you know, devilfish. Jug Creek. And even over there by Burnt Store out there on the outside edge of the bar. The weird part is they all seem to be like that cookie cutter size right now, which is ideal for every fish you want to go after, whether it's a big trout or whether it's grouper fish. And they all seem to be running in that 3 to 3.5 inch range, which is kind of cool.
I guess I'm going to have to go back and listen to Morris's bass fishing report.
Yeah.
You got anything?
The bass fishing's been really good. A lot of guys buying. I think we're almost out of shiners again, and I went heavier on them this week. Shiners, the 9 Mile Canal, Cocoa Plum Waterway, whatever you want to call it. A lot of the ponds out there off of Price Road, south of Atwater, have been working some good bass. And then Rotunda, a lot of guys have been taking some shiners out there, saying the bass have been doing pretty good. The Rotunda area, it seems like the guys that are talking about bass are not great big ones, but 2 to 4 pound range with better numbers. You know, so they're kind of excited about the actual activity on those. Had a handful of guys buying stuff to go down to Trafford and heading up north towards Manatee.
Any artificials in Rotunda?
A lot of guys are buying that creature bait. What's that bait that we have out there?
That Gambler and the other ones, all the creature ones. They kind of look like a crawdad bug cross.
Yeah, it looked like a Helger mite and a crawdad had a good
bottom
night.
Bottom bouncing.
Yeah, they're working those real slow. And then, of course, your worms. We've still got quite a few guys buying frogs that are throwing them in the evenings and doing fairly well. So that's been kind of the couple study purchases as far as that goes. And it doesn't seem like one color has been better than another because they're all over the map with it. We have had a few guys buying more of those tube baits this last 2 weeks also, but they haven't really told me what all they're catching on or how consistent it is, but it seems like those have picked up, getting a little trendy again. And this time of year, we've had such a weird winter that just about any canal or lake you're going on to, either they're going on to their second spawn or getting ready to spawn for the first time or just coming off of a spawn. So each spot is definitely a crapshoot depending on how active and how big those fish are going to be. I saw a couple of Morris's fish. Jeez, he had a couple pigs that he caught last week. Did you see a couple of his pictures?
Oh, yeah.
It was crazy.
I did a freshwater review with Morris Campbell, and it's pretty good.
Yeah, I heard about it.
That one's worth listening to.
Customer in this morning talking about it.
One leg is on the bed, the next one is pre-spawn, and the
other one is post-spawn. You just never know what's going on. It's just kind of weird how it works, you know, even though the temperatures seem to be consistent just about everywhere, one lake or one canal is completely the opposite of the other. But that's what makes it fun and interesting, keeps us on our toes. Keeps us digging through the box going, this is going to work.
Yeah.
I know it will. Didn't work on that last spot, but it's going to work here.
Yeah, I get that. It's actually... trying to get the spell check thing to work on this. Okay, change. Yeah, get it. All right. Shh, quiet phone. I'll get to you in a minute. All right. I guess that'll wrap up the fishing report here. Is there anything else we need to go over? What can you think of anything?
The crappie bite's been really good.
Oh, okay. Let me add the crappie bite into there. That's worth going back for.
Yeah, that's been pretty well this week, and last week for that matter.
Okay. Minnows, obviously.
Yeah, minnows and beetle spins. A lot of guys are using beetle spins either. Some of the guys are putting in their canoes and John boats and stuff like that into some of the Port Charlotte canals. And just slowly trolling along with their beetle spins. And as soon as they're hooking a bluegill or a crappie, they're turning right back around with their minnows and just doing extremely well. And I've even had some reports from some shore fishermen about a lot of those little creeks and canals out there in the Northport areas, in particular, like the same area we were talking about for bass, like off of Price Road, as you're heading south from, say, Toledo Blade area, driving through some of those neighborhoods, and even on the other side of 75, they've been doing pretty well on, you know, 13, 14-inch crappie. I haven't heard any of the big 16-inchers, but good size, you know, and fairly good numbers of them. And we've also had a couple, three, four different groups of guys in the past week and a half that have been going up to Lake Manatee.
Yeah.
And they say it's been really good. They say when you find them, it's incredible. But they said tracking them down has been more tricky than it was last year. They said last year it was almost like shooting fish in a barrel. They said this year you got to really hunt for them, but as soon as you find them, it's been really incredible compared to, say, Okeechobee that's been all over the map this year compared to normal years.
Right. Okeechobee's been a little weird the last couple years.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to get a lot better.
Oh, yeah. So.
Okay. Okay. There we go. All right. Got that. Anything else on that freshwater end of it?
That's about it.
All right, well, we'll consider that one. I can load that now. All right, I'll get that up right away. And, R's, I gotta go back up to F. I've got so many things on here. Fishing report, got it. Okay, that's heading to the internet now as we speak. I'm kind of at a loss. I don't remember anything else going on that we haven't covered.
No, we covered quite a bit today. Playing some good catch-up after you getting under the weather for a while there.
Yeah, well...
I'm just glad to see you back normal, relatively speaking.
Yeah, well, normal as I get.
All right, I said relatively speaking. Yeah.
And if you're one of my relatives, you get me even less.
Nice.
I think there's only, like, you know, three or four of them talking to me at this point. All right. Speaking of me, my relatives, and Robert, and state of affairs and the world in general, I guess we have covered the facts of fishing today. And appreciate you guys listening. Any last word, Robert?
Stay warm and enjoy yourselves. Go fishing as much as you can.
Yeah, get out, relax, enjoy yourselves, have a good time. Fishing Frank in the chair, Robert in the chair across me. Thanks for listening, boys and girls. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.